the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A special welcome to those who are listening to us online. And we know that even though you're not here with us physically, but as you listen of the Lord, indeed, will not miss you in Jesus' name. This morning, I want to talk to you about the transformed mind. Everybody say that with me. The transformed mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 3 to 6, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Everybody say strongholds. Verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to pray a little bit. But before we pray, we're talking about your mind. Your mind is the most important tool that God has given unto you. And if you apply your mind accordingly, great things are bound to happen. The book of Proverbs tells us that guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. Another version says, be careful how you think, for your life is shaped by your thoughts. Jesus equally said, a good man out of the abundance of his heart brings out good things. An evil man out of the abundance of the evil in his mind brings out evil things. And he concluded, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You see, strongholds that we're supposed to be casting out in this context has got to do with a belief system. You see, your belief system, it's something that has been built over the years based on your past experiences, becoming what we call an ideology or a set of principles that help you to interpret everyday realities. The conviction that comes from this set of principles I weigh for you, for me, to make sense of the world in which we live and probably define your own role in that world. Now, your beliefs influence you in varying degrees of ways. As your beliefs have been shaped, they begin to influence you in ways that might not be apparent to you in the choices that you make. Now, how are these beliefs even put in place? They may come from the way that you have been raised. It might even be through peer pressure. And all of this belief system will form in your mind and believe that this is the way things are meant to be. In terms of the way you were raised, if in your culture you call people older than you in the plurality of a tense, in another culture, calling those older than you is singular and it's okay. based on the way you have been raised, that this is how you do things and this is how you do that, once it has become a part of you, you begin to make choices based on the system that is in place. You see, your thoughts and your belief have the ability to shape who you are as a person. Now, how you think, your belief system will influence the kind or the type of goals that you set for yourself, even the type of career that you pursue, and perhaps the kind or the type of people that you want to hang around. And all of this has got to do with choices. Even though your belief system has been formed, and somehow you want more in life for yourself than what you've caused to be a belief system in you. But your thoughts, your belief system has a way of handicapping you into doing what you know you ought to do. But because of the belief system and the limitation in that belief system, you begin to find yourself settling for less. And all your belief system does to you is to bring about what I call a self-fulfilling prophecy. You see, in the days of my grandparents, marriage to them may have involved marrying somebody within your village or your town. In the days of my parents, marriage for them was not marrying just somebody within your village or town, but somebody within your tribe. My generation, marriage changed. It was more of marrying somebody, not necessarily in your tribe, but it was okay to marry somebody within your country, but from another tribe. Today, for our children, the whole definition of where to marry is changing. Even though some of us, the parents, are struggling with it, but it's very likely that our children define marriage as marrying somebody, not even from my country, not even from my continent, but am I willing to go to another continent entirely to get married? What has happened is that the system is evolving. But you see, when you're stuck to a particular belief system, it has a way of making you, helping you to make choices that are still limited. You see, because your belief system is based on experiences from the past, what people have told you, what your parents have told you, what your friends have told you, the pressure that you've been through, that if you don't do this, this is not working, if you do that, that will work, and you've accepted it as a gospel truth, but meanwhile, somewhere inside of you, you want to rebel against it, but you don't want to rebel against it because you've been told this is the way we do things. It has a way of keeping you in place. Now, hear this. When the voice or the noise of your past becomes louder than the opportunities that are before you in the present, you are setting up yourself for failure, depression, and anxiety. Let me say that again. When the voice or the noise of your past becomes louder than the opportunities that are presented before you in the present, you're setting up yourself for failure, for depression, and for anxiety. Now, what do I mean by this? Because you've been told that a bird in hand is worth two in the bush, and you believe strongly in that, you will not make any attempt to step into that bush and say, if there are two in the bush, let me go look for those two. Because you'd rather stay with what you know than to step out into the unknown. When you've been told that you should not marry somebody from another tribe, from another country, because those people are X, Y, Z, and you take that in, and yet you fall in love with somebody who is not from your tribe. For the sake of not disobeying this person or that person, you still go ahead and do what you know in your heart you're not meant to do, because you've been told you can't do that. I can even go further and say, because you've been told that in our religion, serving of alcohol is contrary to our beliefs, and yet you get a job in a brewery or something, you say, because it is against my belief, I won't take that job. But meanwhile, you forget the part that you may be in there to foment a change that's greater than your own understanding. Somehow you don't recognize the fact that God has a way of preparing a table before you in the presence of the enemy. You forget the fact that when you look through the scripture, God has placed his own in the midst of what appears to be contrary to them. Think about Daniel. Think about Joseph. They found themselves in a place that was not where you think God wants them, but there's more to it. God was interested in bringing about an evolution in the belief system of his people. In 2 Corinthians that we read, chapter 10 from verse 4, this morning, we want to pull down some strongholds. And the strongholds we're talking about has got to do with a thought system and what is or on your mind. It talks about the casting down of imagination. Now, when we say you have an imagination is the mental picture that you have on your mind. Now, if you have a mental picture that in this place is going to be difficult for me, you have an imagination that it will be difficult for you, guess what? It might be easy for others, but it becomes difficult for you. If you have an imagination that there are no good men around, no good women around, just where you are, you don't see it, but somebody else come from outside and see it and take what you are blinded to. Just when, like, you have an imagination, there's nothing good in this land, it's hard, it's bad, people will come in and grab good things there, and you're still wondering, how come they saw it? It's because you have an imagination that there's nothing good in here. Today, we're going to make an attempt to create a new belief system. It says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That means your thought, what you're thinking, you need to bring it into obeying what Christ has said. It's not any thought, but what does Jesus say? How does Jesus address this thing and bringing it there? You see, when verse 6 is saying that having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your own obedience is complete, it's simply saying that in a belief system, which already is the way it is, the moment you try to do something contrary, that belief system will begin to judge you. Begin to say, no, it can't be what God wants for you. Because it is written this, it is written that. But you don't realize that the God that we serve is a dynamic God. He is not stationary. He's not in the same place continually. He wants you to evolve. So we're talking about you being ready to obey what God is saying to you in the moment. In the old days, the people built up a belief system based on the laws of Moses. And they lived with this belief system for a long time, to the point that the people began to draw closer to God with their mouths, but their hearts was far away from Him. The people began to obey the letter of the word without even understanding the essence of that law. And when Jesus came on the scene, all He came to do was to help us to have a revert or a change of heart and begin to see things the way God sees things. The people believed that their righteousness is based on the things that they do on the outside, when God is actually looking at the motive for what you're doing. It's easier for you to see wrong, talk about wrong, without understanding what caused the wrong, than God is a God of mercy that deals with the cause of the wrong. In a belief system where there is reward based on what we see, it's difficult for you to break down to somebody and say, I have a problem. In a belief system where it's judgmental, it's difficult for you to be yourself and not be ashamed. In a belief system whereby it's highlighting wrongs and right, good and bad, without mercy, without grace, it's very likely people will be wounded. We are trying to change our belief system. And changing your belief system is a choice that you as an individual need to make. Many of us came from the school, which is very good foundation, whereby we're taught to fear the Lord. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's a very good school. Many of us are more concerned because we've been told our belief system is like, if I do anything that God is not pleased with, this is what may happen. I don't want that to happen. And because of that fear, we only do the things within a small parameter, and we don't even venture out of that small parameter. Using the scripture, the law said the only person that can eat the bread in the temple happens to be the priest. But David, doing the work of the Lord, one day came, was hungry. He said, what's available here to eat? They said bread. He ate it and nothing happened to him. And Jesus made reference to this. What am I talking about? I'm saying that we are in the age of evolving beyond the parameters, the things that just keep us bound, when God is asking us to go beyond that boundary. Jesus is the way that God made available for us to begin to think higher and better than we are thinking today. In John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, the very popular verse, it says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In that scripture alone, it tells me that you have a choice to change your belief system. It said, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish. God is not going to impose a belief system upon you. It is your choice to accept it so you can change that belief system, or to reject it. Verse 17 says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather through Him the world might be saved. This tells me that in a belief system that is propped up based on judgment and condemnation, the chances of you living a real life is limited, because you do not want to be condemned. And indeed, nobody wants to be condemned anyway. But when you begin to understand that Jesus has come not to condemn you, but rather to save you, to help you from a belief system that will not allow you to choose correctly, you'll be willing to be naked and not be ashamed before Jesus. When you come to understand what Jesus came to do, and why we call ourselves followers of Christ Jesus. We will not do things for eye service, but we do it because in our hearts we know it's the right thing. This morning, the concept of casting down imagination, of which the warfare that we're involved with has nothing to do with the outside but with the inside, you will know that God is offering you a way of escape to begin to think correctly. The standards of this world are not the standards of God. Conforming to a dogma, to a teaching that limits you, will keep you in the bounds of poverty. And when I say poverty, I don't just mean money. I mean spiritual poverty. Jesus said the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And the concept of understanding that there is life in the word of God is where I'm going to with all of this. It's as long as we are here, as long as we remain here, we have the choice of praying the right prayer and asking the right things. Now, I'm sure many of you are aware that in this world, we face constant opposition. Now, in the opposition, you have two choices when opposition comes your way. Either you pray that God will remove that opposition, or you pray that God will give you the strength to overcome that opposition. The choice really is yours. But I can tell you this for a fact. Everything that appears as opposition, that appears as obstacle or challenge in front of you, is placed there to make you stronger. If you are able to overcome the challenge ahead of you, you can only come out stronger. You see, the children of Israel made a huge mistake because of their belief system. They've been in slavery for such a long time, they were used to people ordering them up and down the place. They were used to a reward system that if they did well, they praised them, if they didn't do well, they get smacked. So that's all they believed in. And when the word of God came to them that, you guys are going to the land of promise, where it will be your own land, they said, hooray, praise the Lord. And as they stepped out of the place, God was available for them. When finally they got to the place of God's promise for them, they went and they came back and said, wow, that's a beautiful land. It's a land full with milk and honey. But at this point in time, we see giants, and we're not able to overcome those giants. We are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we are in the sight of those people. See, what happened to them was that there were people who were used to being oppressed. So when they saw people physically bigger than them, physically richer than them, physically greater than them in every area, they forgot that God was with them. They began to bring up a thought system saying that, you know what, it's better for us to go back to where we were, being oppressed and being ordered around, than to be in this place where we can exercise our spiritual muscle and begin to possess our possession. We'd rather go to somewhere where, when it's time for prayer, the pastor will pray for you, pour oil on you, and say, read this psalm, read that psalm, read this one, and it shall be well with you, rather than them going and saying that, if God be for me, who can be against me? And because of that, the strange thing was like their belief system caused them to be wandering around the wilderness for 40 years till they all died off. But the new generation that came about had a belief system saying, if God is with us, we'll conquer those people. And they behave like people who simply believe that with God, all things are possible. So while some in their belief system stayed in the wilderness for 40 years, God provided water, food, shelter, protection for them while they were going in the wilderness. They said, praise the Lord is good. A new generation stepped into the promised land and began to fight for their possession, and God was still with them. Now, what am I saying with all of this? Where am I going with this as I begin to close? You are in a position to change the way of your thinking. the way you view God, if it's still based on what somebody has told you and not based on you getting a revelation, you will always be thinking like somebody else. And that somebody else, he has a personal revelation. That's why he's saying what he's saying. But if you don't have a personal revelation, you will say, as he has said, so be it. But it should be, as you have said, Lord, so be it. I'm talking about a thought system, a belief system that can carry you beyond where you are today. Because you were born in a bakery doesn't make you a loaf of bread. I hope you know that. Because you were born in the church doesn't mean you're churchy. If you yourself don't make up your mind about wanting a change, you keep on thinking the same way, speaking the same way, and making choices based on your belief system. The color of my skin will not permit me to get a job there. Because I'm not good looking enough, and people tell me I'm not good looking enough, I won't get a good wife, I won't get a good husband. Other people's opinion. But when you now begin to embrace a new belief system in Christ, things are bound to change. We're going to pray. And that's if you feel like praying. If you are desirous of a new way of thinking. Ezekiel chapter 36, from verse 24 to 27. Ezekiel 36, 24 to 27. I remember many years ago, even as I begin to pray, a few years ago, about 3-4 years ago, I went for a regular checkup, those yearly checkup that you do at the doctors. And while they were checking, I had noticed that the nurse who was checking blood pressure and the rest was smiling and talking to me. And suddenly she stopped smiling and was looking at her gizmo there and stopped talking. I said, okay, I can go inside and wait for the doctor. I just wonder what happened to her. So I sat down there waiting. And lo and behold, the doctor came in and said, how are you? Which was very strange. He doesn't come in that quick. You know, you stand in the doctor's office about an hour before the show. But he came in very quickly. I was like, ah, praise God, though. This guy is here early today. And he brought out his stethoscope, we call it, checked something. And I saw his eyes from squinting to getting big. I knew something was wrong. The next thing, some nurses dragged in the EKG machine and put all those strain things on my body. And as they looked at the thing, everybody's eyes went something like that. I knew something was really wrong. And they asked me another question. Are you okay? Are you feeling dizzy? Are you seeing your grandmother in heaven or something? I said, no. What are you talking about? I said, you're going to ER right now. Now I was worried. ER, I only came for a checkup. What do you mean? I said, everything was out of whack in me. At that very moment, I said, God, I'm too young for anything to go wrong. I only came for a checkup. I don't know why they say I should go to ER. He actually walked with me to the ER. But ER being ER, I end up spending about 5 hours in ER and not on the table, but waiting. But this is a strange thing that happened there. While we are all sitting down in the ER waiting, people in the ER have emergency, right? In there, everything was moving very slow. And there was a lady sitting down close to me who probably has been there longer than me. After about 2 hours of me being there, she must have been there longer. She was talking on the phone. I said, man, these guys are not even doing anything. You know what? I'll call you back in a moment. She put her phone in her bag, adjusted herself, and began to do something like, and when she began to do that, we all turned around and looked at her. Like, what's the matter? I said, my chest. We now called the attention of the people. They say, hey, her chest. And the nurses came out with a wheelchair. On their faces, I could see something was wrong. They put her on the wheelchair and rolled her in. After about 15 minutes, the lady walked out. I was on the phone, say, yeah, I just went in now. It's okay, you know what? I'm going for a smoke outside. I was wondering, wait a minute, what just happened? She went in, 15 minutes, she came out and said she was going outside for a smoke. I learned a lesson that day. We are all at ER waiting. Guess who got the attention first? The person that made the loudest noise. While all of us were there waiting that my turn would come, that woman played a good trick that got her to the back. The rest of us were crossing our leg. I've been here for it. These people are not, they don't know what they're doing. You know, they're too slow. But she shouted. And they rolled her in. And after she came back 15 minutes later, she left. And I stayed there for 5 hours. Today, you have a choice of prayer. I'm in the house of God. God knows all things. I don't need to pray. God will make it happen. Sure, it's okay. I mean, hey, why should I stand up? Why should I even kneel down? Why should I even close my eyes? God knows my tomorrow, so what's the big deal? Sure, it's okay. But the person that knows that I need a mind change, I need God to do something about the way I think. Now, I will not limit myself with my own thoughts. I need God to quiet the voice of the past in my life that I may enjoy the present opportunities in front of me. Probably should pray. Perhaps you're in the place where you need to begin to hear something different from what you've always known. You better pray if you can. Not every one of us need a mind change. Some of us are set already, and we know that we sleep and wake up with God. But for those of us who know that what we know about God is far, far smaller than what we do not know, and we need more God in our life, when it's time to pray, please pray. Ezekiel 36, verse 24 says, I will take you from among the heathens and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your land. God is saying he's about to bring you out of that place of a belief system that is not taking you anywhere, but to bring you into a place where you will flourish. Ezekiel 36, 24 to 27. Abraham, maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about. Abraham, when God was going to call him, what did he say to him? He said, come out from your father's house, from amongst your brethren, from your country, and I will take you into a land that I will show you. That is, God is saying that I need you to be relocated in the thinking of your culture, of your tradition, of the things you've learned in church, and I want to take you to a higher level where you be the solution. Not praying, God, give me a solution, but you will become the solution. You understand that you're a gift to wherever you are. God did not send his son to condemn anyone, but rather through him, the world should be saved. If you don't have a thinking that you are a solution, you're always asking God for help when God has called you to be the helper. He said, I will take you from among the heathens and their thinking and take you all out of the country and bring you into your own land. Verse 25 says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will clean you. You missed a good place to say amen. In case you don't understand what that means, I'll tell you what that is saying. God is saying, every consequence of your belief system that has limited you, that has made you feel that you're a failure in the midst of success, you behold with your eyes people making it and you are not able because you are limited in your thinking, saying that maybe, maybe not. God is saying all that shame, all that disgrace is about to wash it away from you. The filthiness and all your idols, false beliefs. He now said, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you the heart of flesh. What is simply saying here? Not only do you get a new mind, but you get a new way of thinking. If he's saying, I'll take away the heart of stone from within you, and I'll put a new spirit. If there was no need for a new spirit, if there was no need for an old spirit to go away, an old way of thinking, an old belief system to go away, there's no way God will say, I'll give you a new spirit. This is God speaking. I will give you a new heart, and I'll give you a new spirit, a new way of thinking. Now, verse 27 says, I will put my spirit within you. Folks, I want you to understand what is going on in here. You have a new way of thinking, but God is now saying that I'm going to put my spirit spirit within you to influence the way of your thinking. In the past, experiences, the falsehood, the old boyfriend that disappointed you, the old girlfriend that disappointed you, because of that, you don't have any good relationship with people now. Because of the person that jilted you in the church, you now think all men in the church are crazy. Because of the girl that jilted, all girls in church are crazy. Because of the girl that went to marry somebody else outside the church because it's rich, said, because I'm poor, that's why she's not marrying me. Something's wrong with you, actually. This, your way of thinking, now begin to limit yourself and begin to choose wrongly when God has called you to be on top. But it's saying that I will give you a new spirit. And my spirit I'll put within you that will cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them. What God is saying to you here is saying that I want to influence the way that you think. But for him to influence the way that you think, you need to allow him in. You need to accept him in. Brethren, we're going to pray. But before we pray, I want you to understand something. You are free to choose anything that you want to believe. And by now you should know that with me, that I can't impose anything on you. You're free to choose anything that you believe. Every day, I come to realize what God has called me into. And I'm bolder now to say, I refuse to conform to the dogma. But I'm willing to be transformed by the thinking of God. I refuse to do it because somebody else is doing it. But I choose to do it because I can do it also. I refuse to compare myself with any other person, but rather to look up to Jesus as the author and the finisher of my faith. The call I have is the call to help you see your potential, help you develop that potential, and to be better. I may not be able to pray for you that God will do things for you, because I cannot force God to do anything for you. But my prayer has always been that he would cause you in his own way to see the greatness that lies within you. Believe me, you're better than this. Honestly, I know you're better than this. You're better than this. There's so much good in you that you're allowing the forces of the world to keep you down. But you can be better than this. What kind of words are you saying to yourself? What kind of thoughts do you have about yourself? What are you doing to yourself? I'm not even concerned about what others are doing, but what are you doing to yourself? What kind of belief system do you have? Are you allowing the limiting belief system of the old to hold you out of the things that God is saying to you? To those of you, before we begin to pray, who are at the level, and no disrespect to anybody here, because I'm one too. You know what God likes and what God does not like. You believe you have an understanding of how God operates. And of course, God can never lie. I want to bring to your knowledge of something. I've said it before in church and I'll say it again. In Acts chapter 10, Peter was hungry for food. He went up to the roof and he entered into a trance. In that trance, the Lord God brought a tray of unclean animals before him and said, Peter, arise, kill, and eat. Peter responded and said, Lord, I've never eaten any unclean animal in my life. The lesson in there, or what that interprets, is like the same God that said, don't eat any unclean animal, for on the day you eat it, this will happen, that will happen. In the new dispensation, God brought that tray before him and said, yeah, arise, kill and eat. And God said to him, don't call what I call clean unclean. He missed out on the point that God has elevated things. He was stuck in the way with God. And God is saying, things have changed now, we need to move on. Three times, the Lord brought it down. Three times said no. You know what that means automatically? His belief system in the old was intact. And God was showing him a new belief system. He rejected it. Even though it was the first pope, but somehow he rejected the idea of newness that God was bringing to him. Perhaps that's too much for you. Abraham, God promised him a son through whom the whole world shall be blessed. That same son, God said, take thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest, sacrifice. He did not try to bind the spirit, but somehow he figured out that, look, if that's what God wants me to do now, if that's what God is calling me to do now, even though he made a promise that this is what will happen, but now he's saying, kill this boy, so be it. And because of that, became the father of faith. You have a choice. Stick to the old belief system. It's okay. Or make an attempt to let God fill you with a new system that will elevate you to the next level of existence. The Lord said, I will pour clean water upon you and you shall be clean. He said, I will cleanse you from your filth and from your idols and you shall be clean. What is simply saying to you this morning is that whatever shame, whatever disgrace that may have come from an old belief system, whether you believe it or not, which has been limiting you, he wants to do something about it. But if any man believes in him, that man shall not perish but have eternal life. Do you believe in what God is saying to you today? If you believe, we're going to pray. If you don't believe, pray for those of us that don't believe. You can pray and just say, Lord, pour that water and cleanse me from every shame, from every disgrace, from every hurt of the past that's limited me, from every teaching I've had in the past that will not allow me to go beyond where I am today, from every upbringing that has made me to lose things when people are gaining things. I need you to cleanse me.